Well, we've talked about seed time, and we've talked about waiting time, and today I'm talking about harvest time. This is part one of harvest time, because I'll cover the subject of harvest time in two parts. I'll start today, and then I will conclude next week, God willing. So let's get to our foundational text in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And it reads, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." There is seed time, the passage says, and there is harvest. But we also considered that seed time or harvest does not immediately follow seed time. That after there is seed time, there is a time, although not spoken of directly in the passage, but real, a waiting time before the harvest time. And if you miss the waiting time, the harvest may not be all right for you. But today we will focus on the harvest. So, what is a harvest? What does that mean when we say that it is harvest time or a time for you to harvest? Remember, these are agricultural terms which have other applications, spiritual application as well. What is a harvest? A harvest is first the result or outcome of an action or effort. The result or outcome of an action or effort. And this is related to the effort of sowing seed and the result or the outcome that comes from that effort or that action. So, the result. Second, a harvest is the season when ripened crops are gathered. The season when ripened crops are gathered. This is related to timing. There's always a timing regarding harvest. Harvest time does not just occur at any time. There is a time for it. And thirdly, the harvest is the process of gathering crops. This is related to activities we undertake in a time of harvest. Now, if you look at the three definitions, there are three words that I want you to pay attention to: result, season, and process. Result, season, and process. So a harvest is a result, a harvest is a season, and a harvest is a process. And for today, I will focus on result and season, and next week I will focus on the harvest as process. But today we look at harvest as a result or a season. We have already considered Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8 that says, verse 7, "Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So, a harvest can be a prize for something good we have done, a reward, or it can be a retribution. So it can be a punishment for wrong actions. So depending on what you sowed, your harvest may be good or it may not be good. God sometimes gives us a harvest for things we have not done, or seeds we have not sown. So in other words, you can reap a harvest that is not the result of your own seeds. It could be the result of a previous generation's seeds, effort they made that benefits you. It could be prayer your parents prayed, investments your parents made, or other people have made that benefits you. Sometimes you enter an easy harvest field because those ahead of you plowed it for you. And then sometimes you enter a hard field because those ahead of you left it fallow. So what people do for others or ahead of others will determine whether the field they are plowing in is a tough one or an easy one. So a field you are sowing in today may be a hard and a dry field, and that will affect the harvest that you have. And you will get it a bit later as we go on. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Jesus speaking. And the Bible says, he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I always like to stay with the context and explain it because I'm going to apply this in a different way. In the context of this passage, Jesus is talking about or applying the principle of harvest to soul winning. Because the principle of harvest, as I've said over and over, is an agricultural principle. But it applies to different aspects of our lives. And Jesus is applying it to winning souls. I am applying it to getting results in your life. I hope you understand that. So the principle is the same. Application is different. So Jesus says the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I want you to note the phrase, the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. You can underline it in your Bible or highlight it on your device. The Lord of the harvest. So, God is the Lord of the harvest. He superintends over the process of the harvest. So when I sow a seed, whether it's a financial seed or an action I've taken, an investment I make, or whatever process I start at the seed level to produce a harvest, there is one who rules the harvest, and that is the Lord of the harvest. God is the Lord of the harvest. Now, if God is the Lord of the harvest, what does he do as Lord of the harvest? I'll give you three things that God does as Lord of the harvest. First, he determines the size of the harvest. God determines the size of the harvest. This is so critical. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, 7. Paul speaking says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." God is the one who gives the increase. The word increase in this context means the extent of growth. The extent of growth. In the parable of the sower, Jesus indicated that a harvest can be 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. Not all harvests are the same. We don't get the same outcomes from the Lord. So, we can all sow But the Lord of the harvest determines the size of the harvest. Just like in the parable of the talent, the Lord determines who gets one talent, two talents, five talents. Though God blesses each one of us, our fields and our harvest are not the same. God blesses all of us, but the size of our blessing is not all the same. The Lord of the harvest determines the size of the harvest. That is why if you go comparing what God has blessed you with another person, you vex your soul. Because although we put in all effort, the Lord of the harvest determines the effort, determines the harvest. So, we can, let's say my effort is 2 kilograms of effort. And you also put in 2 kilograms of effort. It doesn't mean we'll all get a harvest of 20 kilograms. The Lord of the harvest may determine I get 5 kilograms of harvest and you get 100 kilograms of harvest. Why? Because he's the Lord of the harvest. So it's not so much about your seed alone, but there is one who determines the outcome. So he determines the size of the harvest. Not only does he determine the size of the harvest as the Lord of the harvest, he appoints the times of harvest. He appoints the times of the harvest. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 23 to 24. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. Forget about that. You haven't revolted and departed, but verse 24. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter rain in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. That's what I'm getting at. God reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. So in the harvest is a season of harvest. God appointed the weeks of the harvest. So let's say the season of harvest is, just for purposes of illustration, it's June to August. That's the season. But God appoints the weeks, whether my harvest comes first week, second week, third week, fourth week, fifth week. So not only does he determine the size of the harvest, he determines the weeks of the harvest. So some people's harvest come earlier than other people, and the size differs. Thirdly, the Lord of the harvest prepares people for the harvest. He is the one who sends people to the harvest field. He gets us ready to harvest what he has prepared for us. When the Lord readies a harvest for me, he will also ready me for the harvest. So when God sends me to my harvest and it is mine, you cannot take it from me. My harvest is my harvest, your harvest is your harvest. When God prepares and sends me to the field, he equips me for a particular harvest and I receive it. And you may find people competing with you in your harvest field, but the harvest field that has been prepared for you is yours. They may fight you, they may resist you, they may contend with you, they may undermine you, but the harvest field has been appointed by the weeks, by the Lord of the harvest, to your credit, and it is yours. And that's why you don't get scared, because people are fighting over you, over something that God has given to you. Because God is the Lord of the harvest. He appoints the size of the harvest, the weeks of the harvest, and the laborers of the harvest. And if it is my field and he appoints me the laborer for that field, you can go to heaven and back. Not heaven and back. Not heaven. You can go to hell and back. You can talk to everybody you know in Ghana, in America, in the United Nations, in Kazakhstan. And the harvest is still mine. Why? Because there is a Lord of the harvest. And he has appointed me as a laborer on this harvest field. And you can't take it from me. So, when God gets a harvest ready, he also gets a people ready for the harvest. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus indicated in a parable, the parable that we normally call the parable of the wheat and the tares. Matthew 13 from verse 24 downwards. Jesus told the parable, and the essence of the parable is to indicate that a harvest field can be mixed. Because a man sowed wheat in his field, and an enemy sowed tares in his field, and created confusion in the harvest field. In verse 30 of Matthew chapter 13, this is what the master, the Lord of the harvest, says. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This is so important, I don't want you to miss it. In your harvest field, the enemy can misdirect a harvest. Can misdirect a harvest. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Sometimes as we wait for the Lord to give us what we have desired of him, the enemy can present something that looks like a miracle. It looks like this is what I've been praying for. It may be a business opportunity, a career opportunity, a relationship opportunity. It looks like it, but it is tares. And if you don't have the patience to wait, you're going to harvest something that is not your harvest. And each one of us have had those experiences. We thought the Lord has given us something. We took it, we even testified about it, and realized the thing was just misery. It wasn't from the Lord. It wasn't wheat. It was tares. So you have to be very careful. In every harvest field, we require discernment. You require discernment. Not everything that looks like your miracle is a miracle. It happens in every way. You're praying for a business opportunity, a door opens, and you rush into it, and you realize it didn't lead to a good place. It led to a bad place. You pray, Lord, give me a husband. Something shows up. And you grab it. Something shows up. It looks like the answer to your prayer, but it is not. Because the enemy can confuse your field of harvest. How do you know the enemy is confusing you? Anything that puts a spirit of haste in you that doesn't allow you to pray about and wait, be careful of it. Because the spirit of the believer is not a hasty spirit. He that believes in the Lord shall not make haste. Any opportunity that opens and says, hey, if you don't take it right now, you'll miss it forever. Be careful, careful, careful. It may be tares. It may be tares. And you will harvest something that will hurt you. People have testified of miracles that were not miracles. People have testified of breakthroughs that were not breakthroughs. People have testified of God's favor, and it wasn't God's favor. It was all tares in their harvest field. And the reason why they couldn't discern is because they had a hasty spirit. The Lord of the harvest told the laborers, wait Because the true nature will show very soon. Wait, because the true nature will show very soon. Then you can separate the tares from your true harvest. When God blesses you with something, He doesn't give you hastiness about it. It doesn't mean be slow. It doesn't mean don't be quick. But anything that makes you feel like you have to do some extra quick something to get something, otherwise it will not be there. Be careful about it. Be careful about it. It will pierce you with sorrows and hurt you so bad. Because it looks like wheat, it is tares. It takes patience, discernment, and waiting on the Lord to see the right harvest. All right. Stages of a harvest. A harvest goes through several stages, four of them. So let's say you're a Christian, you've been sowing seed, you've been giving, you're tithing faithfully, you're giving your offering, you're praying, you're fasting. Those are all seeds you are sowing. You are sowing seeds of prayer, seeds of fasting, financial seeds. You are serving in the house of the Lord. That is a seed. You are being kind to people. That is a seed. All of these good things you're doing, and you're waiting because God says He will reward you. And He starts rewarding you. There are four stages of the reward that we're going to discuss today. And it's based on a parable Jesus told, but the conclusion of the parable is in Mark chapter 4, verse 28 to 29. You've worked hard, you've been diligent, and what you have worked for is beginning to show results. Mark chapter 4, verse 28-29. For the earth yields crops by itself. This previously talks about a man who has sown in his field. And then this one is talking about how the harvest starts. For the earth yields crop by itself. First, the blade. Then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So here is a person who has sown in his field. He is expecting a harvest. There is the blade, there is the head, there is the full grain in the head, and there is the ripened grain. But I want you to note at what point he says the harvest has come. He doesn't say from the beginning, he says it at the end. So let's walk through the four stages. First is the blade. The blade is a sign of possibility. What does the Bible mean, a blade? Definitely, it doesn't mean the blade we cut with. The blade is a blade of grass. The blade of grass. Anyone who has sown corn can easily understand this. I, as a kid, as most children of my age at that time, I had a corn farm. And so you sow your two or three grains of corn into the ground, and normally after 3 days the blade shows up. The blade, that's the first indication that your seed is working, your effort is producing result. But it's a blade, it's not a harvest. And when you see the blade, It just tells you your effort is working. And there is a possibility that it will be successful. You rejoice to see the blade, but you don't harvest the blade. Neither do you go around bragging to everyone about the great things God is doing in your life if all you see is a blade. Because there are people who share premature testimonies. They only saw a blade and they rejoiced and told everybody, oh, God has done it. It's a blade. And if you don't manage that process well, you can introduce enemies to consume your blade. Rejoice in your heart, but wait, because God is not finished with you yet. The blade is simply an indication God gives you that it's going to work. Just to illustrate it a little further. It's like in a marriage relationship. It's like when a gentleman tells the lady, you are the most beautiful woman I have ever met. You are the sugar in my tea. You are the butter for my bread. Or vice versa, the lady tells the woman, the man, though it doesn't happen often, but ladies, gentlemen, when somebody tells you that, it's a blade. It's not a marriage. The harvest has not come. Don't go singing, the thing I didn't expect has happened. No. Don't go telling everybody, oh, God has done it. God has done it. He will do it. But it is a blade. Don't testify prematurely when God has not completed the process. So that's the first level, the blade. You go out there, you put your contract out, somebody gives you a promise and say, oh, young man, I'm going to help you. Oh, young lady, oh, this contract will go through. It's a blade. It's a blade. Second stage, the head. The head represents structure without substance. It's better than the blade. It has structure. If you have grown corn before, you can understand this. It's when the corn head has grown on the side of the plant. It has nice golden hair coming out of it like a blonde person. It looks beautiful. It is, sometimes it looks bulky, but if you harvest and open, it will be empty. There will be not even one grain on it. It's just a head with hair and nothing else. So Jesus is saying, there is a blade. Then you begin to see the thing growing and taking structure. In a marriage relationship, it can be likened to the man saying, I love you. Now he's not saying you are sugar in cocoa or tea, but he says, oh, I love you. I love you with all my heart. It's good to hear that, but it's not a harvest. And all of you who rushed ahead to declare a harvest at this level, you know that sometimes you can be sorely disappointed. Because you may find that that statement doesn't have as deep a meaning as to the person as it is to you. The blade, the head. Third stage, the full grain in the head. The full grain. This is when the blade has now become a stalk. It has produced a head. Now the head has substance. It has substance. There is corn on it. It's not just a promise. It's not just a structure. It is substance. In a marriage relationship, it can be likened to the engagement. It is very close, but it is not a harvest. And then the fourth stage, the ripened grain. The ripened grain. That is the harvest that is ready. It is growth that is full. The season is ripe. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. The blade was not a harvest. The head was not a harvest. The full grain of corn on the head was not a harvest. They were all processes leading to the harvest. It is only when the corn had ripened on the head that Jesus says he puts in the sickle. Why? Because the harvest has come. When God starts to bless, we must allow the blessing to mature. You don't harvest the blade. You don't harvest a head. You don't even harvest a head with corn on it. You harvest at the right time when the process has completed. What does this tell us? I have tried to apply it to marriage, but it applies to every other area of our lives. If you are a pastor, you go through that, the blade, the head, the grain, and the ripe harvest. If you are a businessman, you go through that. You start well. You make an investment. You start working so hard. And you see things beginning to flourish. It's not your harvest. You have to protect the blade. You have to keep the wild birds away from the blade. And you work hard. That's not the time when you start living good. Then you get the head. That's not the time to flex. Then you see substance. That's not the time to flex. There will come a time to flex. There will come a time for you to shout. But you don't shout ahead of time. Because one of the things people do when God starts blessing them, they attract enemies they can't fight. And sometimes you testify to people who would destroy you. You open your secret to people who have no interest in your harvest. Because you have no idea who wants to steal your harvest. You testify ahead of time, they will steal the field from you. So you wait till the harvest is ready, and God says, now take it. And at that time, no one can stop you. The field is ready. He has sent laborers to the field. You can't stop that. But before that, you can be stopped. So, where are you in your harvest season? Are you at the blade level? Are you at the head level? Are you at the full grain level? Are you at the full mature stage level? Next week, I'm going to talk about how to harvest what God has given to you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest. For every area of our lives, there is a process. And you watch over the harvest. You determine the size of our harvest. You determine the size of our blessing. You determine, Lord, the weeks of our harvest. You also determine the stages, and you give us wisdom not to harvest tares with wheat. May you grant, O God, every child of yours, that has served you faithfully, whose heart is right towards you, never to miss their harvest time. Never to harvest tares instead of wheat. Never, never to harvest a blade instead of the ripe grain. And grant us, O God, a patient spirit, not a hasty heart, that we can wait until the harvest has fully come, so we can put in the sickle to reap that which you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you.